Roger Williams University is hosting a crisis management seminar on May 3rd at their Providence campus. Crises, whether a natural disaster, cyber attack, or financial instability, can have severe repercussions if not handled properly. This is where crisis management plays a pivotal role. Join Roger Williams MBA students and expert speakers to learn how to prepare for the unexpected. The program is totally free and open to the public. You can register online at rwu.edu/events/crisis-management-symposium.
This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.
For up-to-the-moment Rhode Island news, follow at Bill Bartholomew on X.
At HealthSource RI for Employers, we provide access to health insurance to more than 1,100 local businesses and nonprofits, and 96% of them renew through us every year. Maybe it's our choice of 19 different health plans, our 10 years of customizing solutions, or our one local team of dedicated experts helping employers find quality health insurance. See how our numbers stack up for you. Learn more at healthsourceri.com/employers.
Sometimes the biggest changes and the things that are the most interesting in our law, really, or in our legislative initiatives come from people who have lived experience. And that's exactly what we're talking about today when we take a look at a bill. And again, people probably don't know the bill numbers offhand, but this is House 7561. And it's an act related to education, specifically something that is related to what is known as adaptive physical education, APE. And through lived experience, a voice, a person who is quite familiar to the Rhode Island political and news audience is Ryan Lukowitz, who through his own experience and a senior project created, raised awareness around a major issue. And again, it's one of those things that isn't ahead. It's not the Washington Bridge, so it's not the top of the headlines, but it makes a huge difference. Writing in an op-ed for The Independent, Ryan writes, "I'm currently a senior at North Kingstown High School, and I've been placed into an adaptive physical education class since my freshman year due to my total blindness. This means that I attend the class alongside other students with the addition of partners who are students recruited to support us in meeting our individual education plan goals. The reality is that the number of partners who are willing to enroll in these APE classes has been low since it has been taken in addition to regular physical education class. As one can imagine, this is difficult due to the limited space and schedules as students are already being required to take certain classes per their graduation requirements." And the letter goes, the op-ed goes on to say, after conceiving of a bill, if it was passed, it would allow students to take this class in place of regular physical education to learn different skills while still staying active. Ryan joins us this morning. Congratulations on the project. Congratulations on the passage of this bill. And good to spend time with you.
Yes, thank you for having me, Bill. I was very excited when the legislation passed the House last week, and now we're just waiting on the Senate for it to come out of committee, hopefully sooner than later. And I also have to say, I'm very glad this project is not reaching the level that the Washington Bridge has. So that's a relief.
That's for sure. You don't want to be subject to that kind of scrutiny for the next, 4 or 5 years. This is really interesting because, again, it comes from lived experience. What the layout here of physical education, anybody who knows anything about education knows that scheduling and figuring out how to actually organize the day-to-day flow and schedules of each student, it's not that simple. And, you have somebody who might want to take chorus or band, and their schedule sometimes has to be built around that because those are at fixed times. What are some of the biggest challenges that you imagine would come up if the Senate passes this and are likely to, and this becomes law? What's the challenge here?
I think the challenge is making sure that the districts follow through and are aware of the new flexibility that they have, and just making sure it's effectively conveyed so that these guidance counselors can have the flexibility. Because it's one thing to say you support it, and then it's another thing for the municipalities and the school districts to follow through. And unfortunately, this is something that kind of has to be done from the top down, starting with the state legislature. But at the end of the day, it really falls on the cities and towns and their schools to have these conversations and pass it through, as of now, a municipal ordinance, you know, which would go through either the city or town council and then the school committee. So just making sure it trickles down so that all are aware and the regulations get followed effectively. And then also, every district is in their own situation with this. Some may have enough partners already, and if they do, that's fantastic. Others may not even have an adaptive physical education class for their students who have IEPs, which I would say is a shame. So those are the challenges.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. And I agree that it is a complete shame if there are not adaptive physical education classes in each and every district and school. So when you think about your time at North Kingstown High School and think about the opportunity for a student to switch from, as you describe it, regular gym class, physical education class to this adaptive physical education, what would you say is sort of the opportunity for a student to make that switch? I mean, it's obvious that it would be a great opportunity from a lived experience, from sort of just thinking outside of the box, but what else might someone gain from enrolling as a partner here, so to speak?
It's a great question. And there are so many unintended consequences that may not be realized right away. Of course, you do have the obvious of just feeling good and helping those with disabilities who need that extra support and are in the adaptive class because of their IEP and just because it takes them a little bit more time some more people are needed in order for them to reach the same level of success. It does not mean that they're doing less. It's just achieving it in a different way. Mm-hmm. So it's about being a part of that and just helping and using their lived experiences, either as, you know, maybe athletes who are really talented in a sport, maybe they have little siblings they've cared for, and just applying it, you know, to the school community for this population. And then the other thing is, it's a great starting point for more permanent friendships because, you know, you could have someone join an adaptive class and then go on a unified sports team or a best buddies club. So you meet the person who has a disability where they're at, you know, both literally and figuratively throughout this process. And then it's great if you want to do like an education major for college or a special ed focus, because then you really get an idea of, is this for me? And can I see myself doing this job, you know, in a bigger context, such as like as a teacher or something like that, where you really have a lot more, you know, authority, I guess, over these kids.
Yeah. I mean, I first of all, well done, well presented, because you just made several super compelling, irrefutable arguments right there. And I think that's probably why this thing passed the way it did. And you can expect it certainly will in the Senate and be signed into law. But, you know, sort of just lastly on this, you know, what did working on this project mean for you? You're somebody who, for listeners who don't know, you're involved in politics as a legislative page, as somebody who started your own media franchise, and somebody who's just, you know, you're in the game. So actually bringing legislation to life and making a lasting impact that will hopefully outlive all of us, what does that personally mean for you?
It means a lot. You know, I'm not a super emotional person, but sometimes I do like think about that and hope that this will impact kids in the next generation to come. As I had a very good experience at North Kingstown High School, but something I, you know, did wish for is more partners in those classes to help. You know, we had a good start, something going, but to continue and progress that in a positive direction is so important. And for me, I learned so much about organically creating this idea, having Ledge Council write the bill, collecting data on how much support it had, doing research. So I love the senior project process in general at our high school. It's been, you know, fantastic for me. The school community has been so supportive. So I'm lucky for that. And I've appreciated the different steps of this process.
Mm. Well, you have a great community in North Kingstown. There's really no doubt about it. I want to talk about politics and also what you're up to and where people can expect to find you on the national scene probably pretty soon. But
I don't know about that.
Well, we'll find out. But first, I want to let everybody know about the University of Rhode Island Online, who offer a wide array of programs. Visit uri.edu/online or give them a call at 401-874-5280. That's 401-874-5280. The University of Rhode Island Online, everything from certificates through full degrees. Learn more. It's a new direction in education that a lot of people are embracing, going online. Ryan, so I guess, you know, the obvious question is always, I'm always curious about what you're up to. I mean, you could be a star weathercaster. You could be a star political commentator. You could run for office. You've got all those. Then who knows what else? There's really unlimited possibilities. You're an amazing person. What's next for you, as now things are probably, you know, you're on the verge of North Kingstown High School being in the rear view.
I know. It's so funny you bring up the weather, because it is something that definitely started this all off. And I really realized, I guess, I like the communication a lot more than the science. But I also enjoy climate change policy and just having those conversations about the environment in general. And hopefully that will always be a part of me in whatever I do. But I think bigger picture, I'm thinking definitely political science and possibly communications, depending on where I end up going for college. I'm close to making a decision, but it's not firmed up yet because of the financial aid mess this year that I'm sure you and your listeners have been hearing about, Bill. So we'll see how that ends up shaking out. But I'm definitely thinking of doing a pre-law track, possibly just to have that and continue this work, potentially on a new level with, you know, civil rights law. That's something that certainly interests me. And it's not like I woke up one day and said, hey, I want to be a lawyer. But I realized that it goes along well with politics. And, you know, when people ask me if I ever consider running for office, my answer is, you know, if there's a race where I feel like none of the other candidates are qualified and I think I bring something, then I would love to. I see myself starting from the bottom up and kind of climbing, but that won't be for years. I definitely want to get through college first. I don't think my parents will let me run for office until I get through college.
That's a smart move. I have a friend who is, I'll say this, he's now a judge, who ran for office when he was in college. And I remember some of those, let's just put it this way, it doesn't help you get focused on getting through college when you're running a full-time campaign as well. So
I get
no
it.
Question.
Yeah.
And that's really cool. I mean, you'd be so good at that. It's so exciting. The thought, I agree. I think that a lot of times law becomes, people think, okay, well now you're going to become the next personal injury attorney or something like that. The reality is that even if you don't end up practicing law, it is such a great foundation for all the type of work that you do. Your take right now in Rhode Island politics, it's a weird moment here, because I keep saying it, as the bridge goes, so goes the McKee campaign in 2026. I think it's hard to imagine that the Washington Bridge is going to be demolished and rebuilt, and we're going to have a brand new bridge by the time campaign season begins in April 2026 or May 2026, whatever it is. If that bridge is there, that's great news for McKee, and he can campaign on that. Hey, look, I cleaned up this big mess of decades of neglect, and I came in, and we've got a brand new bridge. If that bridge isn't there, that's a huge issue for a lot of people. It's not the only one. But as you take a look at Rhode Island politics right now, what jumps out to you is the big story?
It has to be the bridge. I think you hit the nail on the head, Bill, because it is going to be a multi-year process, and I think it's something that impacts so many people who wouldn't, you know, care about this stuff normally on a day-to-day basis, you know, this stuff meaning politics. But you know, when it's starting to impact your daily life and, you know, people like Governor McKee and Director Alvedi are making choices that may benefit or harm you in terms of your commute, and that can have an impact on your employment and your mental health and so on and so forth. I think it could go one of two ways, and it's too early to tell if this will be a victory for McKee or if it will be the opposite. So I guess stay tuned. I think Helena Foulkes is going to be a very serious challenger to McKee in 26. I think she would have won if Nelly Gorbea had dropped out of the race, a couple of years ago. And I'm excited to see how that all unfolds and, hopefully be a part of it in some way or another. But you make a good point. I love commentating here. So, that would be great to keep on doing. And everything else, I feel like 2024, you have Jim Langevin, David Sisson, Jim Langevin, oh my goodness. Seth Magaziner, Gabe Amo, and Sheldon Whitehouse, who are all going to be up for re-election. And I think they're going to sail through. I guess that's my kind of hot take. just Rhode Island is just so blue. And I think the Republican Party is really non-existent right now. And I think that's concerning because you really have, two-party government is healthy to have. And regardless of where you fall on the political spectrum, I think that the Democrats and the party is doing so well and people just keep voting them in. So hopefully they remain accountable, and I think they have. But the GOP right now, it's just, put policy aside, they don't even have an executive director anymore. They have, 10 people in the House of Representatives, or maybe 9 now. That just really is sad and concerns me that Republicans in the state a lot of times don't even have good candidates to vote for. We have to pull these people from out of state who know nothing about Rhode Island, and I hope that changes. I really do. I hope the younger Republicans who are still out there can improve the overall landscape in the years to come.
Yeah, I would completely agree that there's, the two-party aspect is important from an oversight standpoint, just like you said, accountability. And I just don't understand why on a local level, you've got some of these candidates, even on the town council level and things like that, that are running on these national culture war issues instead of local issues that they might actually have a shot at winning people over. Remains to be seen if it plays out differently than it has over the last, 80 years, but we'll find out, except for a blip in the 80s. Last question, for you, I guess, it'll be interesting to see where you go to school. I almost imagine when there's like a star basketball or football player and they have the day where they put the hat on of the school that they've chosen and everyone goes nuts at a press conference. Are you inclined to stay in Rhode Island, or are you inclined to go outside of, without giving away too much information, do you see a future for yourself in Rhode Island? Because it is a really interesting conversation, because there's so much here. This is home for us. You and I are both South County people. It's home. Mm-hmm. At the same time, there's a lot of opportunity in Boston, New York, Washington, anywhere. And it's a push and pull, especially for somebody like you that has really a very, very high ceiling in terms of potential. And it sort of is an assessment not only of your collegiate desires, but also opportunities to build a network. So what do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as a Rhode Islander going forward?
Yeah, it's a good question. Look, D.C. is fantastic. I was there in March as part of, the Senate Youth Program. I had an amazing trip, and D.C. really is the mecca of American government. But you make a good point that in terms of college, I definitely will be staying in either Rhode Island or Massachusetts. But nice. It is kind of an either or thing that the colleges can't help. It's a factor. If I go to Massachusetts, the public transportation is going to be a lot better. But then again, I lose a lot of the connections and, will not be a part of the political scene all year necessarily, in a way that I might be if I were to stay a little bit closer to home. So, location matters. And I definitely see myself as a Rhode Islander because, I grew up here. I know the politics here. And it excites me to see a lot of these things through like, you know, RIPTA getting a new director, how will that all shake out? Do the Democrats keep control? Does the bridge get built? All those things, I think, are interesting to me. And I hope just for the best, you know, of our state, because I have a lot of family here. And I definitely see myself, you know, living here for the most part. Now, of course, if I get elected to Congress, I'm going to go to D.C. happily. But again, we're talking a lot of years away. So,
yeah,
don't hold your breath.
Well, we'll see how that plays. I have a sneaking suspicion something like that could very well happen here in our lifetime. Ryan, thanks so much for your time this morning, and thanks for everything you've done for the community. Great work on that legislative effort. It's really inspiring. And hey, enjoy the rest of your vacation. I'm jealous of having school vacation. I wish I could get a couple of those right now.
I know. It's been nice. Thank you so much, Bill. It's been a pleasure.
At HealthSource RI for Employers, we provide access to health insurance to more than 1,100 local businesses and nonprofits, and 96% of them renew through us every year. Maybe it's our choice of 19 different health plans, our 10 years of customizing solutions, or our one local team of dedicated experts helping employers find quality health insurance. See how our numbers stack up for you. Learn more at healthsourceri.com/employers.